Why did God create humans in the midst of the war between God and Satan?
Is it okay to give tithe to worthy ministries rather than the church?
We are here to help you find answers from the Bible. I'm Tiffany Brown.
And I'm Kenya Reyes. Bible Help Desk starts now. Welcome to Bible Help Desk. You know, Tiffany, I really mean this. I cannot wait till get to heaven so I can ask all of my questions. I have thousands of questions, mm-hmm. so I can just ask Jesus and hopefully get those answers. But
yes.
from the looks of it, I'm going to have to make a line, a very long line.
Absolutely. I'm going to be in that line, Kenya. Absolutely. You know, but for now, I'm glad that we at least have Bible Help Desk. Yes. and our guests to help point us to answers in God's Word. You know, if you have a question you'd like to have answered from the Bible, send it in. You can do so by calling 833-BIBLE-HD and leaving us a voicemail, or you can send in a text to that same number. If you're on Facebook or Instagram, you can message us there at Bible Help Desk Show. You can also drop us a message via email or through our website at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. Where possible, do leave us an email so we can contact you back. So Kenya, who do we have with us today?
Well, joining us today, we have Dr. Jeffrey Brown. He was born in Birmingham, England, of Jamaican parents. He holds a PhD in religious education, specializing in family life, education, and counseling. He has served as a pastor, teacher, and administrator in multiple countries, including the UK, Canada, and Bermuda. But he is currently an associate editor for the Ministry Magazine, a publication for pastors. Dr. Brown, it's so good to have you with us again.
Thank you very much. Happy to be with you.
We're also excited to have Dr. Amilcar A.J. Groeschel. He was born in Brazil to a German dad and a Jewish-Italian mom. He holds a PhD in ethics and systematic theology and also a JD specializing in corporate law and governance. He currently pastors a church in Waynesboro, Virginia, and also teaches in the areas of philosophy, theology, and law at the Washington Adventist University. So we're happy to have you, Dr. Groeschel.
It's great to be back.
Well, to get us started today, I'd love to share a verse from the Bible, Romans 8:15, and it says, "The spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you receive brought you about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father." Mm-hmm. You know, I really, really love this Bible verse just mm-hmm. because it gives me such affirmation to know that we no longer are slaves to fear. We no longer are slaves to sin. We have been set free mm-hmm. by Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice, by his blood. And now we can be called the children of God. And now in our difficult moments, we can cry out just as a child cries out to their parents, mm-hmm. to their mom, to their dad. We can cry out, Abba, Father. And that just brings such consolation yes. to our hearts in difficult moments, in moments where we feel like we just can't get it right. Mm-hmm. So today, I'd love to pray for us as we begin our program. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for the ultimate sacrifice that he did in order to establish our relationship, reestablish that relationship with you, Lord. We thank you that we are called your children, Lord, and we just ask that you help us live out our lives, Lord, according to your will as mm-hmm. true children of yours, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you because we can cry out to you in our moments of need. And we thank you that today we get to dive into your word and learn more about you and what you call us to do. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 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 Thank All you, right. Kenya. Let's go ahead and begin with our first question from Facebook. It came from Janine, and she said, "Why didn't the Lord take care of me? Mm. My life is destroyed, and I'm so terribly depressed." You know, we'd like to begin by saying, Janine, our hearts go out to you. You know, dealing with depression is not easy, and we're so glad that you have joined us on this show to send in your questions and that you're seeking the Lord. Dr. Groeschel, we'd like to turn to you and see, what does the Word of God say about a situation like this that Jeanine is in? She feels depressed and like maybe the Lord hasn't fully been there for her.
We're in holy ground here. So the first tackling to this answer is a pastoral one, as you correctly addressed. Janine, you are not alone in this. Depression is first and foremost a serious health concern that shouldn't be taken lightly. So please either call us so we can provide you or point you in the direction of the assistance that you need and the information and how to start a treatment of that condition. But please remember, you are not alone in this. And the reason why we can say this with all of the assurance in the world is because God has promised that you would never be alone. Despite of the circumstances, you are never alone. Deuteronomy actually chapter 31, verses 6 and 8, you will see the following: be strong. This is Moses encouraging Joshua. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. And then on verse 8, and the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. I will not leave you. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Our promises that are repeated throughout the biblical narrative hundreds of times. Someone actually took upon themselves the responsibility of going through all of the expressions in the original Old Testament of don't be afraid, and they found 366 of those. So one for each year. Don't be afraid. You are not alone. And Jesus expands being the same Lord, the same God of the Old Testament. He is now reaffirming, reassuring us with his presence in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, on the second part of the verse, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And that talks about justice and judgment by the end, eschatological reality. But here's the point, obviously, sometimes it feels to us that it is the end of our lives. But Jesus is with you. And Janine, I'm just like you. When things get bad, I rush into trusting my own feelings. And these feelings are usually and primarily a response to risk. It's a fear response. But we should always remember that we should never blindly trust our unexamined feelings. We should put all of our trust in God's promises. And I'll wrap this idea pointing in that direction in reading Psalm number 23, verses 4 and 6. And I'll leave you with this promise. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And now in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy, these are the perfect descriptions and depictions of God's character, shall follow me all days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And this follow me, the root word there in Hebrew is radaf, which means to pursue, to go after, to, you know, it's really God is surrounding you with his mercies, with his goodness. Janine, you are never alone.
Amen. Beautiful. Wow, thank you so much, Dr. Groeschel, Pastor Groeschel, for just reassuring and bringing back those promises from the Word of God. You know, sometimes our feelings can say, I am alone, there is no hope, but the Word of God sends a different message and says, no, I am actually with you, regardless of what you're experiencing. You know, Dr. Brown, we'd also like to invite you in on this question. You know, sometimes I think it can be easy to feel like, because of what one is feeling right now, it can lend itself to the question of, where were you? Like, if you were present there, then I would not be dealing with this right now. And so I just want to invite you in on that question to point us to the Word of God.
Sure. And when Dr. AJ spoke there and, of course, quoted Psalm 23, Janine, you may feel, well, these persons are spiritual giants. They don't have anything to fear. They're so strong. But in the very chapter before, Psalm 22, David says something, and it will remind you of what Jesus said in toward the end of his life. In Psalm 22, it says here in verse 1 and 2, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? He says, oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. So God himself, Jesus himself, felt that abandonment, that aloneness, as if nobody cared. But, you know, at the end of that same chapter, that same psalm, it says in verse 22, I will declare your name to my brethren, and here it is, in the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Amen. In other words, he came through that valley of the shadow of death and realized that even though he couldn't see it, God was still there. Somebody said recently that if there is a shadow, it means the sun is not far away.
Wow. Like
the
that.
Sun yeah. is not far away. And so I leave you with First Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. When it seems as if the sun is far away, it says in First Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you.
Amen.
May God bless you.
Thank you so much. Love that Bible verse of promise. And just for reminding us that suffering is not the evidence of the absence of God. Just because we're experiencing suffering in this life doesn't mean that God is not there. So thank you so much, Dr. Brown and Dr. Groeschel.
All right, moving on to our next question. It comes in via voicemail. Let's take a listen.
My question is that I've been watching Dr. Doug Batchelor on TV, and he keeps reiterating that unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, that you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And my question is for those people who are disabled and cannot move, they have immobility. If they're not able to get baptized, does that mean that they're doomed and not able to enter the kingdom of heaven?
Wow, this question, it really, hearing this voicemail, really, it's heartbreaking sometimes when we don't realize what some of our brothers and sisters might be going through when they hear certain things that we preach or that we share, and how it might not be the same for all of us, because not all of us are able to move the same, and sometimes we need to be a little bit more considerate. So thank you, Bernard, for your question. And I want to turn to you, Dr. Brown. What can we say to Bernard, who is so concerned for our brothers and sisters who may not be able to enter to get baptized into the water?
Yes, and I can understand his concern, because the Bible does say, Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, the Bible says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And so there is this feeling that I certainly must be baptized. And the Bible does encourage us to be baptized. In fact, the Bible says it is our privilege, not just our right. It is a joy to be baptized by immersion and be part of the family of God. But even during this COVID period, not only disabled persons, but able-bodied, all persons have often been prevented from being baptized by immersion. And many Christians, through their pastors and elders, have found creative ways of joining the family of God. That is God's heart. Yes, he would like us to be immersed in water, but if that is not possible for whatever reason, world conditions or individual limitations, then God's heart is just that you will join with his heart.
Yes.
And so we are not to get all caught up in forms. The truth of the matter is, Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 has this to say to us. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, it says to us there, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
That's God's promise to you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Brown, because I think you pointed out something that's very important, is that we need to remember that God's character is love.
Yes.
Everything about God is love, and that he is the one who searches our hearts and knows our hearts better than ourselves. And ultimately, he will know that our heart desires to be baptized. And even if we cannot, he knows that we love him and that is our desire. So thank you so much for pointing us in the right direction. Tiffany?
Yes, love that. You know, if you want to study your Bible a little bit more, we want to invite you to visit our digital Bible study portal at hope.study. Or if you would like to receive Bible studies through the mail or even in person, just give us a call and leave us your mailing address. So we'll be back with more questions and answers after these messages, so don't go away.
For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the Word of God and prayer.
Welcome back. Bible Help Desk is here to answer your questions from the Bible. If you have a question that you'd like answered, you can go ahead and text us your questions or call us and leave us a voicemail at 833-BIBLE-HD. You can also message us via our Facebook or Instagram accounts or visit our website at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk.
And today, our panelists answering your questions are Dr. Jeffrey Brown and Dr. AJ Groeschel.
Excellent. So let's jump into our next question. It comes in via voicemail. Let's take a listen.
I was wondering if anyone would care to speculate about the creation of mankind in the midst of the struggle between Father and Christ and Michael and Satan and his demons. Seems counterproductive to me. I was just wondering if any of the folks there had any thoughts on this subject. I would appreciate your response.
I really like this question from Alan. Thank you for sending it in. Now, Dr. Brown, we want to turn to you because I think this is a very, very interesting question. We would love to hear what the Word of God says, if anything, on this matter.
Sure. Yes, well, the truth is Genesis, right at the beginning of the Bible, it says to us in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And verse 28 says, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. But if we go then to verse 31, the Bible says, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And so there was no sin on earth. It was a beautiful environment, and God had insulated Adam and Eve from sin. But God loved us so much that he gave us free choice. Those of us who are parents, we don't want our children just to obey us because we are the parents, but we want them to obey us because they love us. Well, that is a risk, because in free choice, we may choose to go the wrong way. And Adam and Eve, they did choose to go the wrong way. And that could lead to despair. And I sense that in our brother's question. But the beautiful thing is that God has planned in redemption to make things even better than they were before. And so in Joel chapter 2, it says to us in Joel chapter 2, and there it says in verse 25, so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. I will restore. And there's an even better verse in Haggai, the book of Haggai. It says there in Haggai chapter 2 in verse 9, the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former. Your latter shall be greater. Despite the pain, despite the sin that we are embroiled in from day to day, God is going to make all things new. We will see that it is worth it all, because our latter end is going to be greater than what we are experiencing today.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Doesn't that give us so much motivation? Mm-hmm. Don't we feel a little bit better to know that our latter end at the end is going to be all worth it? Thank you so much, Dr. Brown, for sharing those texts with us. We want to turn to you now, Dr. Groeschel, to also give our viewer an answer from the Word of God on this particular question, which is a very interesting question about why were we created in the first place with all the chaos happening?
I really loved how Dr. Brown painted for us this picture of how God is going to be restored. But I remember the question being like, isn't it counterproductive to have all of that creation happening in the middle of the mess that was going on? And I believe that the person chronologically is referring to some of those scenes of the heavenly court and the tension of what we can see in the Bible as a description of a cosmic conflict. Mm-hmm. If you go to Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, you're going to read there this conflict that was going on. But here's the point. God is not afraid of the challenge of providing freedom and being creative and flourishing love. Mm-hmm. He's not afraid of that, because even though the enemy comes with deceit, God takes that opportunity where sin abounds. Mm-hmm. He overabounds with grace. At the end of that text that I mentioned, Revelation 12, verses 7 through 10, at the end there you see that now, because of all of that story, and after all of the things that God was able to demonstrate through our story of the earth and its restoration, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast out. Amen. So God will reestablish. He's not afraid of a good challenge, and he will win because love always wins.
Amen. I really love how you framed that. Just to remind us that through it all, God is giving us the free will to be able to love him truly, not because he is forcing us to love him, but because he desires for it to be born in our hearts. Yes. So I really love how you framed that. Thank you so much for those answers.
Yes. Wonderful. Our next question came through text message, and it says, is it okay to give tithe to worthy ministries rather than the church? So, Dr. Groeschel, it seems like this person is really wanting to follow the Bible and follow the scriptures in returning their tithe, 10% of their increase. They're wondering about giving it to worthy ministries rather than the church. Is there something that the scripture says on that?
And they're taking the scripture seriously. So praise God for that. And I'm really grateful for the question, because we're able to dive into God's word to try to find some principles, right? Yeah. So if you go to Genesis chapter 14, you will see the one of the very first instances where this concept of tithing is made clear to us. So in Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 20, and I'll read from the New King James Version here. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine, and he was the priest of God Most High. Mm-hmm. And he blessed him, Abram, still Abram at the time, he would turn to Abraham later on, but he blessed, Melchizedek blessed Abram and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And here it comes, and he, Abram, gave him, Melchizedek, a tithe of all, the 10% of all. Who's this Melchizedek? Well, we don't know a lot. We don't have a lot of information on who this character is. He was a king. His name, Melech, and then Malki, like my king, and Tzadik, the king is righteousness, or my king is righteousness. This king was a good king, an organized one, and you can see some principles that can be extracted from this occurrence where you should deposit your trust and be faithful with your tithes and offerings. First and foremost, someone that has been appointed by God Almighty to be his representative on earth. So also this person has a social differential. He was appointed as a king. So in order for you to be a king, you need a community that really supports that. And also being a king, everything is acknowledged by coming from God, but that implies authority, structure, purpose, and also planning. When you get to Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, you will see some other principles that also need to be taken in mind and taken into consideration when you're trying to be as faithful as you can to God's word. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10 go like this. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. So bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive. Once again, there are some very important principles. Tithing should be brought to the storehouse. The storehouse meaning God's house of worship. Once again, there's authority, there's organization, there's planning, trying to reach out and serve, expanding God's realities and the realities of his kingdom throughout the world. If the ministry abides by those basic principles, sure, you're being biblical.
Wonderful. Thank you, Dr. Groeschel, for helping us to see those Bible verses that bring out principles to help apply to this question. So really appreciate that. And also just want to invite you in, Dr. Brown, quickly with this question that was sent in through text. Can we give to worthy ministries, or does it only have to go to the church?
Thank you. Well, I'll just give Malachi 3 and verse 10. And in the message paraphrase, it says, bring your full tithe to the temple treasury. And I know church treasurers will like that. So there will be ample provisions in my temple. So we are commanded by God to bring our tithe to the church treasury. And that same chapter talks about individuals robbing God, not only with tithe, but also with offering. We must bring our tithe and trust that God will spread it throughout the ministries that are needed.
Beautiful. Thank you, Dr. Brown. So appreciate both of you just jumping into all of these questions. Dr. Brown, Dr. Groeschel, we really appreciate you being with us today and leading us deeper into understanding the Word of God.
Yes, we really do appreciate it, and we appreciate all of our viewers who send in such interesting questions that really make us dive deep into the Word of God. Keep sending in your questions, calling, leaving voicemails, texts, or on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, take care.